Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for this show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Yeah. keep it real. Come on, Glenn.
Well, the topic today is you're getting on my nerves. Now, Mike and I, usually every week on Tuesdays, we'll have lunch and we'll sit down and visit and we'll talk about the topic and kind of talk about what we hope comes out of the service. And so I came down today. I was a little groggy. I was a little out of it. And Mike handed me the topic sheet for today. And at the top of it, it said, "You're getting on my nerves." I said, "Man, that's a fine way to tell me, you know. You don't have to just come at me like that first thing in the morning. I'm getting on your nerves. You get on my nerves sometimes." You know, there's something about an angry response or a negative response that gets us just responding negative, doesn't it? I think we have that sense about us that, is there a pride connection somewhere in here, maybe? Who are you to talk to me like that? I don't have to put up with that kind of talk. I'm going to show you I'm not the kind of punk that just going to have to let somebody talk to me like that. I'm going to show you something. Right? Sometimes pride enters into that picture. We don't have to tolerate that kind of behavior. We think we're above that. We think we're better than that. And I'm as guilty of that as anybody. You know, I'm the perfect brother to talk on this because more stuff gets on my nerves than anybody alive. But Jane, my wife, is giving testimony right here.
Heater problems.
Yeah, what's that?
Heater problems.
Yeah, we got a heater going bad in the house, and I've terrorized everybody in under that roof. Better fix this thing, or the wrath is going to fall in here. It's on my nerves, you know. I struggle with that mightily. You know, I don't think I should have to put up with a cold house, man. I'm a man of God. Somebody just heat this house up.
Come on, preacher.
I mean, I serve the Lord in humility. At least I can get is a warm house, you know.
Come on.
I'll preach that whole building, you know. I have everybody repent and still cold in there, but, you know. Well, I can get my pride going, and I think I shouldn't have to put up with the way I'm treated. You know, it's a funny thing. There are some people that just constantly, by some miracle, are constantly getting in arguments with people and getting in trouble because of some meltdown because, well, it's not my fault. You know, he said to me, and you know, I wasn't going to take that, so I had to do this. There's some people go through life that never seems to happen to them. Isn't that interesting? Other people, that's happening to them all the time. I wonder what the commonality is there, huh? Because the world presents to all of us a certain amount of knuckleheadedness. I mean, you may have discovered a certain social environment where you can get more knuckleheadedness going towards you. I don't know why you'd pick it, but it's probably out there. But the world presents a certain amount of just wrongness and meanness and rudeness to us all. There's always somebody cutting us off on the freeway. There's always somebody cutting in line or somebody being rude or saying something disrespectful. So it's really more about, as we were talking about earlier, it's about how we respond to that. It's how what we give back. We want to control that other person, though, don't we? We want to make them not do that. And then we use this phrase, you know, they made me mad. Isn't that funny? Nobody make you mad. We said it earlier today, I heard this brother say, it's a choice. Nobody made you mad, you chose it. You let it happen. Hey, I'm not judging you. I'd probably be running ahead of you on that. I get madder than you and repent coming back the other way before you get going, maybe. Because that's how it goes with a brother like me. But the truth is, we choose to be mad. No, nobody. If somebody is making you mad, there's a problem because that person's in control. They're making you be however they want you to be. I don't like that. I don't want anybody making me mad when I'm having a good day.
That's right.
That's a problem. And I got to make them not make me mad. How does that work? Can you do the math on that for me? Draw it out on a diagram, because I don't understand how that happens. But that's what we get in our mind, right? Hey, don't mess with me today. You don't know me today. I got issues and concerns you don't know anything about. I'm liable to snap if you look at me crooked today. We warn people they better not, you know, try anything. We're not going to control ourselves. We're going to try and control everybody else, make them not talk to us or look at us funny or whatever. That doesn't make any sense, does it?
Not at all.
Because we can control ourselves quite easily. It's just a choice. I think that's a thing, you know, that's our central problems. We want to, our nature is set a certain way. And we needed something supernatural to overcome that. But we let our nature run its course. And if your nature is a certain way, you're going to keep experiencing the same things. If you keep getting arguments and problems and conflicts and whatever, it's going to keep happening till you change you. I'm not saying there isn't something wrong with the other person. That's probably true that there is something wrong with the other person, but you can't control that. It's about changing you. How can you change that? I'll tell you a quick story if I have time. Y'all tell me I have time. You want to hear the story? I'll tell a quick story about, you know, whatever. I'm a boss. You understand that? Around there, they call me El Queso Grande. That, which means highly revered and respected leader. Don't get out of your Spanish dictionary. That's what it means. I'll tell you what it means. I'll break that down. Okay, this is tell you a story about the. If you don't change your nature, your situation's always going to be the same. Young boy getting in trouble in school every week. You know, he's always getting into fights, and his mother got tired of him coming home and. You know, his clothes are all torn, and you know, because he's been tussling in the schoolyard and fighting with all the kids. And she says, "You know, I'm tired of you always getting in fights and getting in trouble. I'm gonna send you to church, and I'm gonna straighten you out. And I'll put you in there, and you'll get sanctified somehow, and you come out not wanting to fight so much. So you go to church." So she sends him to church, and after a while, the service lets out, and the little boy comes back home, and he comes home with two black eyes. His mom said, "Now, how are you going to get in a fight when I send you to church?" And he says, "Well, there's an explanation." So she says, "Well, what's the story?" He says, "Well, we were in the church. I was minding my own business." You know how that is. You know, them brothers always mind their own business, but still getting in a fight. "I was minding my own business, not trying to bother anybody. And we stood up to sing the first song. And there was a lady in front of me. And she stood up, and her dress was stuck in her backside of her front, you know. And I thought I'd be helpful, and I reached down on the hem of her dress, and I pulled it out. And she turned around and boxed me in my eye. And that's how I got this black eye." And mom said, "Well, that explains how you got one black eye. How'd you get two black eyes?" He said, "Well, I figured she wanted it in there so bad, I stuck it back in." And she turned around and socked me another eye. It's a church story. It's a church story. I don't know why y'all gonna say like that's a bad story. Church story. It took place in church. Y'all try to profane it and make it nasty. Lord help us. They ain't giving me the stink eye. I know that went too far. That's what happens to us when it's in our nature to be getting in trouble. We're going to find that trouble wherever we are. If we have that in our minds, we're always getting into mischief. It's going to find us wherever we go. The devil will put that temptation in our hearts, in our minds. Whatever the devil does to get you off your square, if it's working, count on this, it ain't going away. If the devil is coming at you with frustration and anger, whatever, and it's working, it's taking you off your square, he's not going to think of trying something new and different. That works. He won't stay with that. He'll stay with it till it doesn't work. So that's what you have to get that in your... He's not trying to be creative just to entertain himself. if he can get you off your square, it's it. He's done. He can quit for the day on you. He's got you where he wants you. He's going on to the next person. He sees you doing good again. Get this brother frustrated again. That's it. That's easy. I flip the switch on that brother and take him right off his square. I can fly him like a kite. I'm the one pulling the strings. Somebody can make him mad. I'll make him mad. And that's how it's going to be from now on for you. Your life never going to be different. The color of your world is somebody going to come and agitate you. That's all you got to look forward to for the rest of your life till you change you. You tell the devil, that ain't working. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of you. I'm tired of this nonsense. That ain't going to work. I'm not going to let you take me to that place. The devil will keep using it. We tend to think, I'm going to close on this point and bring up this last brother. He's really going to bring you a good word. We tend to think that there is strength in how much we can project our ferocity and project our will and project how intent we are. That's our strength. I ain't gonna let him talk to me like that. I'm not gonna let him do me like that. I'm not gonna let him think he could get away with that. That's the way we think. That's a being a man. That's how a man take care of his business. Really? Because I can bring in a room full of 3-year-old kids act just like that. You kick them in the leg. Hey, man, you can't treat me like that. He's going to try and kick me back, even if I can box him, you know. There's nothing manly about that. There's no strength in that. The strength is in our restraint. The strength is what we don't turn loose. I could. Oh, believe me, I could. But I'm not going to. I'm going to take this moment. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to pause. I'm going to give this to the Lord. I'm going to tell the Lord how bad I want to kill you. Because he understands. He might be voting with me on that. You never know. I can talk him into it. I campaign a little bit. Lord, please strike this brother dead. Leave nothing but a greasy spot, Lord. It would do us all the world of good. Amen. Makes me feel better. I'm keeping it real. Keep it real with you. I got to keep it real with the Lord. The truth is, I think the Lord understands our frustrations more than we think. And that's a pretty cool thing. If we can give that up to the Lord, let him be understanding about it. And say, okay, Lord, I know you're in control. I'll let you deal with that. I just want you to know how I'm feeling. That's a good thing. And God's open to that. He understands that. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.